Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY22 earnings conference call of Oil India Limited, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I would now like to hand over the conference to Mr. Sabri Hazarika from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes. Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, I welcome you all to the Q2 FY22 post-earnings conference call of Oil India Limited. We have Mr. Harish Madhav, Director of Finance, Mr. P.K. Goswami, Director of Operations, and other senior management of Oil India Limited. Today, I request the management for opening remarks, and then we will move over to the question and answer round. Without any further delay, I hand over now to Mr. Madhav. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Sabri, for this opportunity for interaction with the investors and analyst community. We have declared our Q2 financial results only yesterday, and the results were emailed and also hosted on our website. I hope everybody have had access to the results and the detailed analysis that we share with the investors. My Director of Operations, who was supposed to be on this conference, he had to suddenly go out for some other meeting. Mr. Goswami, he is not available. Me and our ED Finance, Mr. Sanjay Chaudhary, we are available. I will request Mr. Sanjay to kindly proceed with the opening remarks, and then we can straightaway go for the question answers. Sanjay.
Good afternoon, dear friends. We appreciate the interest shown by you in the company, and the financial results for Q2 2021-22 have been shared and also posted on the website as well. I will briefly give some indications about the performance of the company in both in terms of physical and financial. The consolidated turnover of oil for half year ended 30th September 2021 is rupees 13,456 crores vis-à-vis rupees 9,656 crores for the half year ended last year. The consolidated PBT for the half year ended 30th September 2021 is rupees 3,535 crores vis-à-vis rupees 1,851 crore for the corresponding period last year. The profit after tax at the group level of the company for the half year ended 30th September 2021 is rupees 2,669 crores vis-à-vis 1,436 crores for the corresponding period last year. Now, coming to the standalone results and beginning from the production front, the crude oil production for Q2 2021 is 0.760 MMT vis-à-vis 0.746 MMT for Q2 of 2020-21, which has increased by 1.78%. Crude oil production for the half year has increased by 0.61%. Natural gas production for Q2 2021-22 is 806 MMSCM compared to 638 million standard cubic meters for Q2 of 2021, which is an increase of 26.38%. On a half yearly basis, the increase is in the range of 15%. On the financial side, the company's profit after tax in Q2 2021 is rupees 504.46 crores vis-à-vis 238.95 crores in Q2 2021. For the half year ending 30th September 2021, PAT is 1,012 crores versus a loss of 9.66 crores in the half year of the last year. The company's EBITDA in Q2 2021 is 1,280.99 crore vis-à-vis 848.48 crores in Q2 of 2021. EBITDA for the half year ended this year is 2,577.91 crore versus 1,176.24 crore for the corresponding period last year. The EPS has increased to 4.65 rupees per share in the second quarter of this year, as compared to two rupees twenty paisa in the second quarter of the last year. For the half year this year, the QPS is EPS is rupees 9.34 per share versus a negative EPS of 0.09 per share for the half year last year. The Board of Oil has recommended an interim dividend of rupees 3.5, that is 3 rupees 50 paise per share for 2021-22. The average crude price realization for Q2 21-22 is USD $71.35 per barrel, vis-a-vis $42.75 per barrel for Q2 of 2021, which is an increase of almost 67%. The crude oil price realization for the half year ended 30th September 2021 is US dollar 69.28 per barrel, vis-a-vis $36.48 per barrel for the half year ended 30th September 2020. Which is an increase of almost 90%. The increase in this price has led to increase in turnover by almost 2,500 crores and profitability by in excess of 1,200 crores for the half year ended 30th September 2021. The average national gas price for the half year ended 30th September 2021 is US dollar 1.79 per MMBTU versus US dollar 2.3 for MMBTU for the half year ended 30th September 2020, which is decreased by 60 cents per MMBTU. The decrease in price has led to decrease in turnover by 229 crores and profitability by 156 crores for the half year ended 30th September 2021. In the current quarter, oil has taken provision of write-off against wells to the tune of 581 crores in the second quarter of this year, with compared to 8.3 crores in the second quarter of the last year. The financial performance of Numaligarh Refinery. Numaligarh Refinery Limited, our material subsidy, has also improved its financial performance in the current quarter. PAT of Numaligarh for Q2 is 957 crores against 831 crores in the corresponding period. NRL's GRM, dollar per barrel, has improved to 13.47 per barrel in Q2 compared to USD 6.68 per barrel in Q2 of last year. The EPS has also improved to rupees 13.01 per share from rupees 11.30 per share in the Q2 of the previous year. Well, with this, my opening remarks on the performance is over. And we are now open to the question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question from the line of Sonal Sen from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Probal here. I had two questions. One was, you just mentioned that there was additional provision for write-offs in this quarter. And, the exploration write-off number is also slightly higher on a QOQ level. Can you tell us which wells this pertains to, or is there anything exceptional or any one-time large write-off has been taken on any exploration asset?
Actually, write-offs to the tune of about 150 to 200 crores per quarter is a normal happening. However, this year we had to take a larger write-off of around 450 crores for a particular well in Kakinara. This well was an expensive well, which was a high-pressure, high-temperature well, a very specialized kind of a well, which had to be written off because it did not show commercial prospectivity.
Okay.
So that is the reason.
Okay. And the second question was just a clarification that the higher miscellaneous income is because of the sale proceeds of international subsidiary being booked in the other income this time, right? So just wanted to clarify that that is because of the booking of that international subsidiary sale, correct, in this?
No.
Okay.
This is basically the accounting of the dividends that we have received from Indian Oil Corporation and BPCL also, first dividend we have declared this time.
Okay.
Dividend has come, and plus dividend from our Singapore subsidiary, which is holding the Russian asset, Rampur and Taj. So these are the three dividends which are
Okay. Okay. Okay.
comprising.
Right. And so last question I had was typical, I mean about Baghjan. Just wanted to get a sense of what the production has ramped back up to and an overall guidance if you can give for oil and gas output for the next couple of years.
Production, I think we are back to the normal level of production. That particular well, of course, it has been killed, but there are other wells in the area, and we have drilled a new well in Baghjan also, which is on production.
Okay.
So the production levels of around 3.1 MMT this year we are expecting to finish by the year.
Okay. And sir, overall for our company, any guidance you would like to have for 22 and I mean for FY 23?
FY 22-23 should not be much increase, maybe around 3.2, not beyond that.
Okay.
But we are working on some basically faster development program on a few of our assets, fields in Rajasthan and mainly in Assam and Arunachal. So by 23-24, we expect a significant increase in the production. But at least for current year and next year, of course, production will be in this range also.
Got it, sir. So one last question, if I may. What is the reason for the sharp drop in the average gas realization in this year?
Gas realization.
You said that H1 realization was $1.8 versus $2.3 last year. That's the normal gas price formula-led drop.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough, sir. Thank you so much. I'll come back if I have any questions.
Thank you. The next question from the line of Ankur Sharma from HDFC Standard Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question from the line of Vidyadhar Ginde from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So my question, as you know, is related to this provision. So if you look at the last 10 quarters, I think there are four quarters in which this exploration-related write-offs seems to be on the higher side. And I haven't looked too much behind that. For example, I think FY 2019, there was no such quarter where the exploration write-off was very big. So has something changed in the last 3 years? And the assets in which, is it the new NELP acreage or what is it? And indeed, if it's, let's say, NELP, in any of these blocks, have you made any significant discoveries or are we hopeful of some significant discoveries going forward? Or until now, it's mainly only resulted largely in large exploration write-offs?
Vijay, this is basically exploration write-offs which have the larger numbers what you are talking about. It's basically with respect to the blocks in Mizoram and the KG Basin. Now, these two blocks, all the wells were very high-cost wells. Mizoram, because of the area and the accessibility issues, the cost was high. In KG Basin, because out of the five wells, three wells were high pressure, high temperature. The cost for each well was around 350 crores to 450 crores of each well. Very high-cost well. Now, all these wells were under different testing regime. And finally, as in when, after each testing, as in when the well was found not to be commercially viable, the provision was made or the well was written off. So accordingly, this has happened. So this is the last well in the KG Basin block, fifth well, which was under extended production testing. And after detailed testing, finally, though there was a discovery in out of the five, two or three of the wells, there were discoveries, but they were not commercially viable, so that's why we have provided for all these wells.
So, can we say that we are now done with big exploration write-offs in KGR unlikely? What about Mizoram?
KG and Mizoram, all the wells which have been drilled, they have been finally found, you can say, commercially not viable or dry, and all provisions have been made in respect of all the wells.
So this phase may be over, it may be behind, so we are unlikely to have such high exploration costs going forward, or?
So we are not such big write-offs in next few quarters unless we start drilling under the OOLG, which is
okay.
1.5 years from now. But the lack of write-offs, since we are continuing drilling operations, this exploratory drilling, etc., goes on in the main operating areas, nominative blocks, etc. So the normal write-offs are under 50 crores per quarter, both that will keep coming.
Thanks. My second question is on the Numaligarh. So, in case of Numaligarh refinery, what is the now from if you could you given us the GRM which appears to be the core the one excluding the excise duty benefit. So, is it possible to share the GRM with excise benefit or the amount of the excise benefit, if possible?
With this, we don't have readily. Maybe I think last time also it was asked, but we forgot to collect this. We'll get that information and we'll share it. From next time, or certainly with you, we'll share this. This time.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Somaya from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. My first question is with respect to the gas production increase in the current quarter. I mean, anything you would like to highlight? I mean, we have seen a decent increase both on a sequential and YOY basis. What would be driving this?
It's been an endeavor to consistently try and increase our oil and gas production. And starting with gas production, due to the concentrated efforts that have been put for production enhancement, and we have entered into various kinds of new technologies finance for the latest technologies we brought in so that the production increases. As a result of this enhanced the level of activities for increase of production, in the gas front it has yielded results and that has led to the higher gas production.
And one more reason, if you compare with the last year's sequentially as the last year, basically significant increase is coming from last year because last year, as you recollect, because of the COVID, the consuming industries, they were all closed for a longer period, fairly long period. So that's why the gas production had to be cut down last year, except the small tea gardens, etc., which are supplied, but all this fertilizer plants, everything was shut down. So because of that, the volumes were low last year. This year, everything has started, so naturally the production and sales volumes have picked up.
Got it, sir. Is there any new well addition during the quarter which also kind of helped production ramp up?
Yes, certainly there will be few number of wells which have been added, regularly being added. So drilling is already...
No, from more from a run rate standpoint, sir. I mean, is it like relatively more number of wells were added during the quarter? Because even on a QOQ basis, the increase is relatively on the higher side. So just wanted to understand on that front.
Well, as a number of wells, it will be almost in the same range. Some will go out of production, some will keep on come into production, you know. I mean, that's a continuous process. And there hasn't been a significant increase in the number of wells, really.
Got it, sir. So next question with respect to the production outlook. Could you just help us with, you know, how do we look at the ramp up of production and, you know, any ballpark numbers that you can give with respect to gas and oil? I remember that you used to give these numbers, but can you just, any updates to that or how do you see things ramping up over 23, 24, both in terms of gas and oil?
As far as gas you are talking about, by 23, 24, we should be, what we are intending, that we should be able to increase our production to say around 3.2-3.25 BCM in next 2 years' time.
Okay.
Hello?
Got it, sir. You got it, sir. So this is in FY 2021, this number is 2.65.
FY 2021, we possibly
What?
reaching around 2.. FY 2021 was very low, 2.8 something. For 2022, it will be close to 3, 2.95 or 3, we should be able to reach.
Got it, sir. And in terms of oil, so we were around close to 3 in FY 2021.
In terms of oil.
In respect of oil, what we, I just mentioned sometime back also in response to earlier question, around 3.1, we should be able to achieve. Anywhere between 3 and 3.1, we should be able to achieve.
Got it, sir. Sir, and one question with respect to your CapEx outlook, both on a standalone basis and anything that you need to spend on the NRL part also.
Standalone, excluding NRL, all other investments and regular CapEx is around 4,200 crore planned for the next year. This year it is 4,100, next year it is 4,200. And another refinery capacity expansion investments certainly will be coming, about 3,000 crores we have to invest. But that will come only in 2023-24 and 2024-25, last 2 years of the refinery expansion project, because initially the loan drawdown and the internal resources of the NRL will be used.
Got you. One final question, sir. So with respect to your debt breakup, the consol, the difference between console and standalone, so that entirely pertains to NRL, or you also have other subs debt? I mean, if you can give that breakup between standalone console debt, it should be helpful.
Standalone and console debt, the difference is not on account of NRL. NRL, as of date, there is no debt, but the difference will be on account of $500 million loan that is there in our Singapore subsidiary, All India International PTA Limited, to which we have our return investment. That is the only
Got it. Got it. Helpful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question from the line of Rakesh Setia from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for this opportunity. Hi, Arisa. So I wanted to understand this provision and the exploration cost a little better. So if I see your this quarter, about 468 crores was in provision and another 127 crore in exploration. Is this entire amount, 468 plus 126, pertains to some sort of exploration and well write-offs?
Yeah, this this 460 crores pertains to a provision for well write-off, which is when we
cost a little better. So I see two classification. One is provision for 468 crores and then exploration cost write-off. I mean, if you can help us understand, you know, why two separate headings and if all of this amount pertains to well which you have drilled in the past?
Yeah, yeah. At the outset, let me apologize for this glitch here. This is a power failure out here for some reason. Anyways, now coming to your question, actually, you see, we do this when we see that internally we assess that a particular well has got no further commercial use, then we take a provision against it because it doesn't make proper accounting, or rather I should say it does not make conservative accounting by carrying it as a work in progress once we have decided internally that it is unlikely to yield any commercial value. That is the stage when we take a provision against the well. However, most of these wells are under NELP and these wells are under OLP. Now, in this situation, what's going to happen is that you can actually write off the well from your books. That is, strike it off from your books only after all the formalities have been completed and the well has been relinquished. So, when we take a provision, normally it's a two-stage. You take the provision first when you internally feel that it's not going to accrue any commercial value, and then subsequently after the formalities are over, you write it off. However, in some cases where we are drilling a well in the nominated blocks, that's the earlier block that we had before the NLP regime. In those blocks, when the those blocks don't have to go through this long process because no other outside party is involved, and the formal writing of a will and internally deciding is it commercially not viable is the same step. Once we internally decide it's not commercially viable, we simply write it off. So we don't follow this two-step system. Now, coming to the amounts that you mentioned, we have shown provision as for 54 crores. That is because it is in a NELP block. And being in NELP block, it will follow the two stages. First, we come to provision. Then subsequently, when all the formalities of DDH are over, it will be written off. Of course, when it will be written off, there will be no hit on the profit. Because the hit on the profit has already been taken during the course of the taking the provision. It will merely move from provision to write-off. That's all. However, for the other well, for 126 crores that you talked about, there this is a well in Assam. This is going to the one stage, like I explained to you. This is the single stage write-off. That means, internally decided, it's you know, no commercial value, and you know. Have you been able to explain? I don't know.
So, when, yeah, that was helpful. So, when I look at your balance sheet, there is a exploration and evolution assets worth about 1,076 crores as on September 21.
Yes.
So out of this 1,077 crores, how much of this would pertains to the NLP block? I mean, I would assume the provision would be sitting in the liability side.
For against that I'll have to check how much is NLP, and we'll come back to you on that. But right now there's not much drilling is going on in NLP block. The NLP figure is in the as of second quarter, the NLP figure is likely to be very slow.
Okay, so let me ask other way around.
This is largely in the Assam fields.
So let's say, you know, if we were to assess risk of further write-offs, I mean, is the 1,100 crores or this 1,076 crores the right number to look at in the balance sheet? That this is the number, if hypothetically none of the wells proven to be commercially viable, then this is the maximum amount you would be writing it off?
No, that is a very unlikely situation going by the past record.
No, I'm just saying hypothetically. So you,
but hypothetically, we'll add on to it during the course of the year. This will become bigger and bigger also.
Okay, so every year, how much you are adding? Every year, how much you expect to add on your exploration assets?
See, adding because these exploration assets. This is a definition. Exploration and evaluation asset is a definition as per Ind AS. Okay, let's not take it in as common parlance. All right, okay. This is a particular definition of Ind AS. This is a particular accounting standard in Ind AS, which has got this heading, and as per that, this heading has been used. So what has happened? This signifies the exploratory wells which are under drilling and have not been capitalized. Once these are successful, this will be capitalized and they will come under PPE. But there's the first item in the balance sheet, in the asset side. Okay, PPE.
Okay.
Okay. This is kind of work in progress of exploratory wells. You can take it as that. That E&E assets are work in progress exploratory wells. If they become dry, they'll be written off. If they are successful, they will go into PPE.
Okay. Understood. And sir, from a customer side, which are the large customers that will take the increased production of gas volumes which you guided to the previous analyst questions?
The electricity plants, NTPS, LTPS, they are there. The power plants are there. The fertilizer is there. Assam Petrochemical is there. BCPL, Brahmaputra crackers and fertilizers, they are there. So all these customers are going to take.
So these customers will add capacity and therefore take higher natural gas, or they are not using any natural gas and therefore they will take natural gas?
They are all using natural gas right, as of now. In some cases, they are a little starved. And in some cases, like APL went through an overhauling process. BVSC is also going through some overhauling process. So as a matter of coincidence also, what has happened, a lot of overhauling and capacity expansion is going on in these. So they are all expanding capacities now. So because of capacity enhancements, one, and because they were enhancing capacities, they were at suboptimal levels right now, you know? So that's why the hike would be a little more.
Okay. And my last question is on Numaligarh refinery. How much will be the expansion CapEx if that has been finalized? And what would be the breakup of funding that CapEx between internal accruals and borrowing? And then follow-up to that would be, you know, will it affect the Numaligarh refinery's ability to pay dividends to Oil India?
See, I'll take the last part of the question first. If the dividends by Numaligarh might really come down because if you are going ahead having a net worth of around 5,700 crores and you go ahead with a project of 28,000 crores, obviously there will be some impact on the dividend payout. That is but natural, right? And so there would be some impact in the dividend payout of Numaligarh refinery. As far as oil's share of capital is concerned, it will be to the tune of 3,000 crores or, and that will be payable around 2023-24 at the end part of the project.
Okay, so this is additional 3,000 crores Oil India will infuse into Numaligarh in.
Right.
Okay. And of the 28,000 crores of CapEx you explained, how much would be the borrowings? Will it be two-thirds, one-third, the usual borrowing mix?
70% will be borrowing. If I remember correctly, 70% will be borrowing.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much for all the answers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Bora from Sharekhan. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Only one question. Can I get the break-even price for both gas and oil?
Break-even price of oil is around $27, $27,
$28. For gas?
For gas, we have a loss now. So your it works out around $2.
Sorry?
Around $2 per MMBtu.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Patil from Reliance Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. The question is related to your 4% stake in Mozambique Basin. So the plans of gas production from this basin has been further extended to FY25-26 as per your presentation. So what is the current status of this basin and how much CapEx is committed from Oil India side in next 2 years for this block? So, sir, my question is from the perspective of current higher LNG prices and which can be a booster for existing investors of this block to ramp up the operations so that we can see early operations and gas output from this block. So can you throw some light on the Mozambique Basin current status and your CapEx plans for the next 2 years for this block?
Actually, the Mozambique Basin, Mozambique, what has happened is right now it is under force majeure because there's been some terrorist activities out there and project is under force majeure last few months. And maybe another few months it might be under force majeure. However, the situation is improving. There's an intervention at the ministry level from India and as well as from other operators. So there's a government-to-government talks which is going on, and we expect the situation to improve. So because of this, the project would be delayed by, say, another year, obviously because of this force majeure situation which has happened right now.
Okay. And my second question is related to, again, a gas production, domestic gas production ramp-up. So as you said, the gas production will be close to 3.3 BCM in FY23-24. So this additional gas production, you will be able to sell at market price. Is this a right understanding?
No, not at the market. Most of it is going to come from
nominated
blocks, right. Largely coming from, we won't get a market price. If something comes from our NAP blocks, obviously we'll be able to sell at market price, but not all of it.
a small part of it, yes, maybe, but not all of it.
So could you give us a ballpark number, how much would be a nominated block additional production and how much would be NELP or market price gap?
Very small. NELP, as per the current plans, I mean, see, it's a dynamic situation, okay? But as per the current scenario, nothing more than 10%. And maybe in 5%, you know. I'm just giving a ballpark figure, nothing more than 10%.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. And have a nice day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star 1 to ask a question. The next question from the line of Nitin Tiwari from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is related to the oil production you spoke about, where you indicate that in the coming years the production will go up to about 3 to 3.1 million tons. So, what is the basis of that increase in production? Because for the past couple of years, you've been seeing a decline in the production levels. So where is the incremental production going to come from? You can just throw some light on that.
The incremental production of gas is we are expecting to come from some focused areas that we have identified within our existing fields. And due to some enhanced recovery methods that we plan to use, and in those focused fields, it will come from our existing fields, and then we're looking at new fields to enhance the ramp of the production at this stage.
Basically, it's like you're talking about IOR and your activity in the existing fields.
IOR activities and lesser explored part of our fields in nominated blocks.
Understood. And so my second question is... Sorry.
More extensive exploration in some of the areas, you know, that would be also be a focal area.
Sure, sir. And so my second question is related to Numaligarh refinery. So in case of Numaligarh, post BPCL's exit, how are the product offtake agreements tied up? I mean, like, you know, are there tie-ups with the oil marketing companies for the current production? And then for the ramp-up also subsequently, that all the product would be off-taken?
Yes. There is an arrangement with them. With BPCL, for the next 15 years, I guess. So for these marketing conditions to continue.
Understood. So even for the increased production that is going to come after expansion, that also BPCL will off-take.
Yes.
And on the related note only, sir, that like with the hypothetical question that people are incrementally talking about renewable energy and reduced reliance on oil and oil products. So in that light, how do you see the Numaligarh CapEx adding up? Because it's not a coastal refinery, it's remotely in the hinterland, and it's a substantial capex which is going to happen for expansion of the capacity. So, how do you see this scenario adding up if the demand moderates going ahead, and then eventually the refinery has to export? So,
in fact, Numaligarh is going ahead with the project for ethanol plant 1G. Okay, so they're going ahead with 1G ethanol plant right now, and that is as far as Numaligarh is concerned. And secondly, as far as All India is concerned, we are seriously exploring the prospects of green hydrogen. So from the All India's perspective, it's looking into the green hydrogen scope of things. And from Numaligarh, they are looking into ethanol plant.
Right, that's on the side that Numaligarh is looking at an ethanol plant, but I'm talking more from the perspective of that, how much of a value do you see in terms of adding capacity at Numaligarh as a substantial investment of 28,000 crores? And given it's not a coastal refinery, eventually the logistics would turn out to be less sort of competitive for this refinery if it has to export out of the area. If that's what I'm trying to get at, if the demand over there, like, you know, gets curtailed.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Your question is that how does it add up that that you make an investment of 20,000 crores when fossil fuels are not the flavor of the season, right?
Understood, yes.
That's the question, right?
That's the question.
The point is that, see, whether we like it or not, whether it be the flavor of season or not, we can't do without fossil fuel in the near foreseeable future, right? So whatever happens is going to not happen before 20-25 years. And things for things to actually percolate and come down to India and be effectuated at India levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it is, and see, let's look at it practically. There is no substitute of fossil fuel for ATF, right?
Right.
As of now, there's nothing at all. So there are a lot of areas where no work has been done for substitution of fossil fuels, right? So
right.
So we don't think we have still reached a stage where we can write off the fossil fuel, the future of the fossil fuel straight away. So there is the future. Yes, maybe there might be dips here and there, but then we think we will live with it.
Understood. Thank you so much for taking my question.
Thank you. The next question from the line of Kirtan Mehta from Bank of Baroda Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving this opportunity. Could you run us through the status of the capital projects under execution?
Capital projects under execution. Now there are no major projects we do. What are the major projects right now? Only major project right now under execution is the reverse pumping project from Boyagaon to Guwahati. That is under construction. Other than that, there is nothing major really project right now really. Of course, we have a lot of things are in the pipeline, the planning stage, but there is no other capex right now for major projects. Otherwise, the ongoing capex that happens due to drilling wells and other activities, of course, that is ongoing. But if you look at a major project like an STF or a Makom OCS, put it at that level, say in the range of 500, 600, 700 crores or more. Nothing like that is in docking right now, excepting the reverse pumping, revamping from Boyagaon to Guwahati.
Right, sir. What is the exploration budget for the next 2 years?
The exploration budget for the next 2 years will be in the range of around 2,500 to 3,000 crores.
And how many wells would, how it would be spent, split between the wells and the GNG expenses?
Survey would be in the range of 600 crores or so. In the range of 600 crores or so, and rest would be for drilling purposes.
Right, sir. And one more question on the phasing of the capex for NRL refinery. Could you also indicate from the NRL side how the phasing would work out?
I don't have the exact phasing right now readily available with me. Let me just have a look. We'll just share this with you. Somehow I just missed out the exact phasing. Okay. We'll just share this with
sure,
you.
Sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question from the line of Avdhut Sabnis from Increate Capital. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to seek a clarification. My understanding was this whole NRL expansion also included a pipeline that has been built from to Bangladesh, Siliguri to Paradatpur, which will be largely funded through a government grant. Is my understanding correct?
For the Bangladesh part is government grant for that.
Point is not
for Bangladesh grant.
Point was that isn't that the sort of main evacuation plan for the expanded refinery, taking the product to Bangladesh?
Isn't the
main part of the question? I mean, I'm trying to understand. The question was asked earlier in terms of where the expanded product will go in terms of the refinery expansion. Isn't the main part an export to Bangladesh as part of through the pipeline route?
Yeah, some part yes, but not the major part.
Is there anything finalized in terms of agreements with Bangladesh in terms of product offtake?
No, nothing is really finalized, but talks are underway. Some products are already being exported to Bangladesh through the roadways as we speak. So, but nothing long term as to the total offtake has been finalized as of now.
Okay, thank you. And sorry, I just missed. I didn't quite catch the GRM number that you gave for the NRL refinery for the second quarter. Could you please repeat?
Okay. Yeah, the GRM numbers for the second quarter NRL is 13.47 barrels per dollars per barrel.
3.47.
Correct.
What was it for the first quarter?
5.21.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question from the line of Rahul Agarwal from L&T Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is basically to understand this write-off of dry wells. Is there a can you give us a sense of over the years, how much of your capex would you, in your exploration side, would you have written off? And is that something that you keep a track of in terms of operational efficiency or improvement of process over the years?
See, as far as write-off of drivers is concerned, this we are talking of a well which has not yielded any production, okay, and there will be another kind of dry well that has lived its life and has dried up. All right, now for that there will be no accounting purpose, there will be no hits on the bottom line because that would happen in the natural course of business. These are the wells that we are talking of are those wells which were drilled and they did not yield any commercial hydrocarbon. And in exploration business, drilling of dry wells is a part and parcel of the business itself. Right? And it's dry wells during exploration is common world over, even with the biggest players in the game. So that's a part of the business. And that's the way life is.
So I understand that, and what I'm asking is that there would be a certain percentage of what you're spending that you're taking a write-off of. So is there any metric that you keep track of that, or there's nothing as such?
See, for maintaining a conservative books of accounts, as soon as I internally decide that this is not commercially viable, my auditors will not permit me to carry it in my books. I have to write it off immediately. So I cannot plan a write-off per se. The write-off would happen when it happens, and I would have to account for it as it happens. So I would not be able to maintain a matrix and kind of, even it out. I cannot even it out. I'll have to do as it comes.
Okay. And just last question is, this quarter, how much of past provisions would have got adjusted?
Past provision? None, actually. Because the provision we have taken is 454 crores, the new provision. And the write-off we did of 126 crores did not have a provision. So past provision has not really been adjusted in this quarter.
Okay. That's all from my side, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question from the line of Vikas Jain from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Thanks. I just wanted to check what has been the seismic cost for this quarter?
Survey cost for this quarter?
Yes.
Okay, if there's some other question, we'll just get back to you on this. Maybe some other question.
Okay, and the other one was, the amount that you mentioned, that is 450 crores. This one of this 450. Can you repeat the exact?
450 crores for one well. HPHT, whether the high pressure, high temperature.
450, 450, okay. Yeah, I didn't catch it.
454, in fact.
Okay. Okay. That's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, as has been the case with this write-off, how does the provisions works with the income tax department in terms of tax calculation on the income when the write-offs are being made into money? What is the rule for the same? We are taking provisions on the basis of the wealth not performing. So how does the taxation part play, sir?
For the purpose of income tax write-offs and these provisions are spread over not allowed as a deductible expenditure.
Didn't get you, sir.
But as far as this upstream income tax are concerned, we have put a separate provision under Section 42 under the Income Tax Act, and as per which the expenditures as and when are incurred are gets covered under this 42 agreement, and as per the provisions of the 42 agreement, we claim the expenditure as deduction in some cases in the year in which the expenditure is incurred, in certain cases over a period of 3 years. So that is why the subsequent write-offs and provisions, if these are not allowed, does not hurt our income tax profitability.
Right, sir. And so with the increase in the gas prices and overhauling of APM also, what kind of improved increased revenue are we expecting, sir, going forward? And what portion has been factored for this quarter, sir?
It increased revenues now. Your gas revenue is in the range of 15% of the total revenue, and the increased revenues since the prices have gone up from. From 1.79, it's going up to 2.9. That difference for 15% of the revenue would be the enhancement. Because in the revenue mix, gas is around 15% or so.
And what have been the crude realization for this quarter and the first half?
Around $72.
Right. And so lastly, sir, on the CapEx part, you mentioned 2,500 to 3,000 crore for this current year, sir?
Sorry, please come again.
For the CapEx part, the amount to be spent would be 2,500 to 3,000 crore?
For the exploration, seismic, exploratory wells and development wells. That is exploration and activities.
And how much have we spent on the same for the first half?
Around half of it has been spent.
Okay. And sir, for the hydrogen part, the green hydrogen part, sir, what is the thought process of the management and what are the inroads we are making currently? If you could throw some more light on the same.
Actually, it's still at the drawing board stage, you know. So we're just exploring the options, and we have not really even zoomed in on what kind of green hydrogen we want to use. So we're just weighing the options, and because there are certain options available. The technical team is looking into the options. So once we have something concrete to discuss about, we'll definitely share that with you.
Okay. And what have been our investment in the renewable segment, sir?
Mr. Kapoor, may we request that you return to the question
please.
For follow-up question?
Thank you. I will do that. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Somaya V from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just one clarification with respect to the break-even numbers that you mentioned. So what are the cost heads that is getting accounted when we mention this break-even number, sir?
That break-even number is includes the raising cost and includes the DDA. It includes absorbed costs and it includes the levies. It does not include development cost. That is without development cost. Okay.
Got it.
Includes raising cost, DDA. Got it right. Raising cost, DDA, absorbed cost, and levies.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay, this was very interesting and very encouraging, I must say, because the questions were, the participation was very encouraging, and the questions were, that were asked were very incisive, and we found the participation also very involved in the whole process. I must take the opportunity to thank everybody who has participated in this Q&A session, and a special thanks to Mr. Hajarika and MK Global Financial Services for arranging this call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.